We're celebrating what we call the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he rose again from the grave. And I can think about the times we used to have the sunrise services, and the choir would sing. Mrs. Hughes, she would be singing, and we would be singing together, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Life is worth the living because he lives." But as we reflect on our Savior and as we reflect on what he's done, we have to ask ourselves an important question. What is it that God would have me to do? How am I to respond to this great event? How should we then govern our lives if we're going to be the ones that he's counting on to advance his gospel? What is it that I need to do? How has God brought me into this resurrection so that I can live it out? That's a good question. And I want to invite your attention to Acts chapter 5. As the church in its young stage began to live out what the power of God meant. It's one thing to celebrate an historical day. It's another thing to know what it means. Acts chapter 5, we find it written where, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed and hanged on a tree. It is him that God has exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him.'" Amen. Before you take your seat, I want you to say this with me. One more witness.
One more witness.
Look at somebody and say, "One more witness."
One more witness.
Look at somebody else. Maybe you haven't spoken to somebody. Say, "One more witness." Amen. You may be seated. Father, it is again that we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for Jesus being risen. There's an empty tomb that has a body that's no longer there, but it's ascended into the heavens. And you sent back the Holy Spirit to bear witness with us that we are the children of God. Thank you so much for that. But we're praying now that you'd fill us with the power from on high, that we might be able to demonstrate what it means to serve a risen Savior and to know that he is in the world today through us. Help us, God, in all that we do to honor you and to give you glory. Speak to our hearts now, and don't let our coming here be in vain. But change us by what we hear, and change us for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The question we might ask is, where are the witnesses? Where are the witnesses? Those in the judicial system will tell you that the outcome of the case depends on credible witnesses. Without someone reliable, a person's future or perhaps their life may hang in the balance. Without a reliable witness, the justice system will lack the evidence to bring a guilty party to justice. And without a witness, an innocent person could be prosecuted for something that they didn't do. We need a witness. In 2017, historian Timothy Tyson, a Duke University research scholar, refused to leave a certain case undone. He studied and he found out in his writings and in his research that the testimony of Carolyn Bryant, had allowed guilty people to go unpunished. Dr. Tyson writes in his book, Blood Done Signed My Name, and also Radio Free Dixie. In his interview with now Carolyn Dunham, she said that the blood of Emmett Till, it could have been spared. She told him that he had done nothing that deserved the treatment, and nothing could justify what had happened to him. Emmett Till was a young black youth killed in 1955 in Mississippi because the allegation was that she had whistled at her. That's the story. If there were only witnesses, someone that could have said something, it could have spared or could have brought justice to that young man's life. If you think that's bad, let me go back a few years and tell you about another case. It was the case involving Jesus of Nazareth against the leaders of Israel. They brought up a charge that he would destroy the temple, lead the people against the Jewish faith, and start a rebellion against Rome by making himself king. All he needed was one more witness. Yet there were witnesses who got up and said this about him, but their witness did not agree. Are y'all going to pray with me? And my question is, where was the leper that he had healed? Where was the blind man that he met outside Jericho? Where was the one that he had caused him to walk? What about the demon-possessed man of Gadara? Where were the witnesses? One witness could have stood up and said, I once was blind, but now I see. Even Lazarus could have got up and said, I was dead, but now I'm alive because of this man, Jesus. The witnesses were silent. I'm not trying to bring an accusation against the church, but perhaps we have been silent too long. Because now they're saying that this Jesus is not all that you're claiming him to be. He's not the Son of God. He's not alive. And my question is, where are the witnesses? Where are the witnesses that would say, I was lost, but now I'm found. I had sinned, but now I'm forgiven. I was bound, but now I'm free. Where are the witnesses? Look at somebody and say, one more witness. The religious leaders had arrested Peter and the other apostles. And here's the charge that they had against him. We did not, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and tried to bring his blood on our head. And Peter said, we are his witness. Can I get a witness? See, we understand the importance of somebody saying the right thing at the right time so the wrong thing won't happen. Are y'all with me? Now, it's good that you testify on Sunday morning. But what about your testimony during the week? It's good to hear you say, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I am his own, as long as you got a whole bunch of folk that say amen. But what are you going to do when the people are looking at you and saying, I dare you to say something? I tell you, then when you're a real witness, you'll be like Jeremiah that said, it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. We need just one more witness. This is a critical thing because Christianity is now against the ropes. It's being blasphemed. Anytime you got these folk that live all kind of jacked up lives, and as soon as they win in a war, I'm going to thank God. Being by my side. Yo, what's up? What's up?
Come on.
We need a witness. Peter was bold enough to say that we are his witnesses of these things. I believe that somewhere in his mind, Peter goes back to that day when he could have said something, should have said something, but instead of saying the right thing, he denied him. I don't know him.
Come on.
I don't know him. And taking a curse upon himself, I tell you, I don't know him. While we shake our head at Peter, we need to ask ourselves, when have we denied him? When have we let him down? It wasn't on a Saturday night. Party going good. You just kind of sitting there and you feel a little bit in your bones. Where are the witnesses? Peter said boldly, this time I'm not going to let him down. We're his witnesses. But notice he's not a witness by himself. Please notice that he says, so also is the Holy Ghost. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God in order for you to really stand up and proclaim to the world that he is risen. He's risen indeed. None of us would have the power. None of us would have the insight. None of us would even have the motivation to speak a word for him. But when something gets to move and wear down in your sanctified soul, when the Spirit of God begins to prompt you and tell you it's your time now, go on and tell what the Lord has done for you. I think it's about right now time for a little bit of a praise break. Any folk in here know what the Lord has done for you? Know how he brought you out and kept you? Everything was down, but then the Lord made a way out of no way. Anybody don't mind just waving your hand for the Lord and said, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. You brought me from a mighty long way. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness for my Lord. I'm a witness. One more witness. One more witness. Well, you say, Pastor, we can't just any old witness do. Won't that be all right? I don't know. Because you got the false witness.
Come on. Come on.
You got the false witness. And people talking about what the Lord did for them. No, you won the lottery for that one. You can say the Lord did it, but no, you just won the lottery.
Come on.
Then you have the paid witness. False witness is never going to give a true testimony. The paid witness, oh, they can tell you how that I'm blessed and highly favored. They can tell you how they got a breakthrough. They can tell you how they're walking in the blessings of God. Nothing wrong with that, except the testimony is a self-testimony. It's about you. I'm not talking about a self-testimony. I'm talking about a testimony about Jesus. See, today, Easter ain't your day, even though you look good in your new stuff. I know some of y'all say, Rev, you got a new robe. Yeah, I look good in this new robe, don't I? But it ain't about me. It's about the Savior. You see, that witness that is a paid witness, the Lord has done things for you. And that's why the devil tried to accuse Job. He said, Lord, you're paying him off. God, you're paying him off. Every time he turns around, you bless him. Why wouldn't he give you things? Start taking stuff from him. And then see what Job will do. But you know one thing about Job? He might have said, Lord, I don't think this is fair, but he was still a witness. And Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Paid witnesses can't go. And then you got the witness that doesn't have any experience. They just know a little bit of something. They know grandma's God. They know Aunt Susie's God. Aunt Susie told me about this. Amen. They are witnesses without experience. I call them faction testimonies. They can give you a partial testimony about, well, the Lord woke me up this morning. I'm looking around. I see a whole bunch of folk the Lord woke up this morning. He put food on my table. Yeah, I see a whole bunch of folk look like they're well fed. You see, a fraction only tells you a little bit about what God can do. The fact that he woke you up and gave you food, oh, he can give that to the just and the unjust. But when you know him as a way maker, when you know him as a burden bearer, when you know him as a friend who will stick by you through thick and thin, when he walks with you, when he talks with you, when you know without a doubt that he is your God, that gets past the fraction. That gets to a whole number. You know, I learned something neat in math. If you take one fraction, then flip it upside down. In other words, you got the numerator, then you got the denominator, but when you put the denominator on the top and the numerator at the bottom, you come out with something whole. You say, preacher, where are you going with that? A math lesson. But here's the point. What you need to do, instead of you with your little numerator, I'm number one, flip it. Turn it upside down. Talk about the goodness of the Lord. If it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord, do I have a witness? You wouldn't have anything, so flip it. Begin to give God praise. Then you'll come up with a whole number. Then you'll understand that it's him I move and live and have my being. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ah, I feel like preaching this morning. I feel like preaching right now. Because you need to know that we need a witness here. Yeah. Well, you got the historian. They're going to go back and they're going to tell you all the facts. Have everything straight.
Come on.
They can tell you about, oh, yeah, this is here. That goes there. And that happened then. And they can go through all of the history of the scripture. I had a professor one time that he would tell me about the Bible. And I had nerve enough. Hadn't even taken my final exam, Miss Hughes, and I asked him, do you know the God of this book? what I want to do that for. But I had to say it. Because I told him, I don't know everything about this book, but I know the one that gave it. I know the one that spoke to my heart. I know the one that saved me from my sin. I know the God that brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. No, I can't quote everything from Genesis to Revelation, but I can tell you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I can tell you because I know him for myself. Anybody in here know him? Oh, yeah, it's time for another praise break. It's time for clap your hands and tell the Lord how good he is. And you said, preacher, if these won't work, what do we need? We need a powerful witness. Peter was only repeating what he had been given. These years later, as he stood before the Sanhedrin, he was only saying what the Lord had told him. And he had the Holy Ghost to bid amen. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So when Peter stood before the Sanhedrin and he said, we are witnesses, he said, y'all ain't seen nothing yet. We're just in Jerusalem. In other words, we just got started. They were telling him, sit down. He said, wait a minute. I just started here. I'm just moving here. How many of you have ever had the Holy Ghost to move you? Yeah, something on the inside get to working on the outside. And you said you wasn't going to cry, but tears stream down your eyes. You said you wasn't going to get up and, amen, wave your hand. You said you wasn't going to shout, amen. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, we don't do a lot of shouting here at Crossroads, but I come from the Spanish Grove Missionary Baptist Church. And when the folk got happy, their feet got to moving. My grandma had a little two-step that she would do when she would shout and praise God. And for those of you that don't mind shouting, just because some of the folk here don't shout, you can shout if you want to. Let's take another praise break. Because he's good. His mercy is everlasting. Go on and shout. Go on and shout. Matter of fact, I'll shout with you. Go on and dance. Because you know he's good. You know he's good. He could have kept you where you were. He could have let you go a long time ago. But the Lord is still with you. He's still your guide. He's still your friend. He's still your hope in ages past. God is still God. And if he's still God, you ought to clap your hand. Tell him thank you. Look at somebody, tell them we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses. I want to get y'all so filled up to amen. You're going to go downstairs, eat your food real quick. Say, what you got? I got to witness to somebody. Huh? We need testimonies from powerful saints, those who have been convinced by faith that Jesus Christ is real. You think about the people that have lived and gone, and they didn't know a lot, didn't have a whole lot, but they gave their all for the cause of Christ. I think about the wonderful people that we've had to come in through these doors. Amen. And how they contributed to this church so that now we can sit back on cushioned pews and air conditioning. And if it's not cool enough, you can get you a fan. Still getting a fan from the funeral home. That's all right. Get you a fan and fan yourself. Because life is good and God is good. But my question is this as I go to my seat. Who's going to tell the story to the next generation? a younger generation that's questioning, well, how do I know this is God? I see what you're doing. I understand when you come in church and you got songs that you can sing, but that could just be tradition. We have to be bold enough and strong enough to say with Peter, we are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of God that is real. It's the Spirit of God that is moving. And it's the Spirit of God that will keep breathing life into this church and into our lives. As we depend on the Spirit of God, he will direct our path. And he will keep us. So that 100 years from now, when the Colemans are gone and some of the other folks are gone, people will still be praising the Lord. Because they will be his witnesses. Very quickly, let me give you the qualifications. Number one, you got to be real. We don't need a bunch of phonies. We need real folk. Yes, let the world know that you've got flaws, but also let them know you've got a Savior. People come to church and they draw the conclusion, since you're in church, you must be perfect. No, brother, we stumble just like you. No, sister, we get broken just like you. But every time we stumble, every time we get broken, we got a God that picks us right back up. Do I have a witness here? We got a God that promised us we'd never walk alone. And I wish we had some real folk. Amen, somebody. I know what you used to do and what you don't do now. I get that. Amen. But sometime when you get mad right now, those curse words will come right to the tip of your tongue. And if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, amen, somebody. And I know when you give your testimony, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But wait a minute, what happened when you got mad? Look at somebody and say, you need some Jesus. That's where the Spirit of God comes in. In our weakness, he makes us strong. When we cannot do it, all we've got to do is yield to him. And the Lord will guide us all the way. But then the second thing, you've got to say something. When we get out of church, we know what our favorite phrase is? It ain't none of my business. We will literally watch folk go to hell and say, it ain't none of my business. Let me get up in your face. It is so your business. I want to get up in your face. Get up in your nose. Hope you cleaned it. It is so your business. It's our business. You know why? How did you get saved? Somebody told you that Jesus was real. You said something. And it convinced those people. It convinced you. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. He's real, for he's washed and made me whole. It is our business. That's why Jesus said, when you're my witnesses, I'm going to start at Jerusalem. Now, before you try to save anybody else's house, go to your own house. Or as the male chorus said, sweep around your own front door. Do I have a witness here? Because when the folks in your house know that you're saved, know that you're living different, they say, wait a minute, God is real. If God can save Skeeter, he ought to be able to do something in my life. I don't know who he is neither. God, yeah. Be real. Amen. Say something. Then the last thing, do right. Do right. All of us should have that kind of attitude to where we simply want to do what's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Whole lot of stuff going to come knocking on your door. Hey, let's go do this. Whole lot of opportunities. will come your way. But you notice what the Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 3? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And here's the part I can't get right in. Okay, help me with this. You got a lot of folks that, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's because God's taking care of them. When they get down to verse 3, they walking like they ain't got a lick of sense. Now, let me tell you what used to happen to us when you acted up in public. Got any old school folk? Now the kids are falling to the floor. They do whatever they want to. And I'd be going, ooh, if you just grew up with me, Lord have mercy. All they had to do was look at you. And that look was like, oh, God, I'm in trouble now. If you think your mom and daddy was bad, you don't know how bad God is. He could snatch your next breath where you couldn't even breathe for it. Amen? God could make your heart stop beating at any time. Do I have a witness here? Now don't let the negative thing, don't let the fact that he can take your breath away stop you from serving him. Here's what I've learned. As you walk that path of righteousness for his name's sake, blessings start to overtake you. Let me give you an example. Y'all know I don't preach tithing here in the church, right? I just say give and honor God, right? Isn't that right? That's give and honor God. I've learned that this amazing God, I know some of y'all just got an attitude. Lord. Here you go. Talk about, no, but let me tell you what this amazing God does. You give to him your little bit. He turns right around and pours it out on you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Now watch this. Even when he doesn't add to my bank account, he adds to my soul. I got joy in the midst of trouble. I got a friend who will never let me down. I got somebody that when I'm down, he picks me up. As a matter of fact, let me brag about Jesus. He walks with me. He talks with me and tells me I am his own. We need to take another praise break. But this time I'm going to my seat. You need to tell somebody I'm his witness. I'm his witness because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures forever. Anybody know he's good? I'm a witness. I'm a witness. My soul is a witness for my Lord. Miss Cassie Lovelace used to sing that song, "My Witness." I'm a witness for my Lord. My soul is a witness for the Lord. Now, Miss Cassie's gone, but it's your time now. Are you his witness? Can he count on you? Do you know the story about what he's done for you? I'm not telling you to tell Coleman's story. Tell your story. How the Lord brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Tell him about when you didn't even know you were in the world. God made a way out of no way. Do I have a witness here? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You got to tell your story about his mercy and his love. Aren't you glad about it? That Acts chapter 5 is now alive in you because you've made the commitment and said, Lord, I don't know everything about you, but I know that you're my God. And when you love Jesus when you worship him, and when you fall in love with him, nothing else matters in life. Ups and downs, valleys, it doesn't matter, because you love Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Come on, say it. Falling in love with Jesus. Here's your testimony. Is the best thing I've ever. You said it. You said it. And oh, to give a testimony now. I need somebody. Can you say, in his arms, in his arms? I feel
oh, and in his arms. Never disconnected. Sing it to somebody. Oh, falling in love.
Falling in love.
Falling in love.
With Jesus.
Never had anybody to care for my soul but Jesus.
Falling in love.
Oh, with Jesus.
With Jesus.
Aren't you glad he filled you with the Spirit?
Falling.
I tell you, it's the best thing. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. It's the
best thing I've ever known.
If you don't have anything else, but you still got Jesus, it's the best thing. It's the best thing I've ever done. Give the Lord a praise. Now, there might be somebody. Everybody standing real quickly.